Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda Ellsworth, and I have a very special show in store for you. I have a wonderful guest today. Eric Newman is a passionate entrepreneur, speaker, and visionary leader. In 2009, he founded Rock Solid Foundation, an organization that inspires hope for every child and family fighting pediatric cancer. Rock Solid partners with more than 70 children's hospitals to deliver ready bags for families and has built more than 1,000 play sets for children throughout the country who need a safe place to play and a reason to smile. A husband, father, and pediatric cancer survivor himself, Eric understands the battle a family faces when their child is diagnosed. It is my pleasure to welcome Eric to our show today.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Yeah. So, Eric, let's just dive in here. Let's talk a little bit about your journey and tell your story a little bit and then how you came to be doing this and give us kind of like just a little bit of the road you've been on in doing this.
Sure. Absolutely. So we started Rock Solid Foundation in 2009. But before that, the story actually started when I was 3 years old. I was diagnosed with a very rare form of liver cancer. They found it when I was the age of 3 and ended up taking close to 3/4 of my liver out. So I just celebrated 32 years cancer-free, which is amazing. Underwent chemotherapy and radiation. So you would think with me having cancer, that would give me a reason to want to give back. But I was the second child, 3 years old when I was diagnosed. And then my dad's sister, her second child was 3 years old, got diagnosed with leukemia. And then my dad's brother, second child, 3 years old, got diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor. So we've had cancer ravage our family for quite some time. Both of those cousins ended up passing away. So I honestly thought that the cancer was going to come back and get me. So I decided to work hard, party hard, and play hard. I was probably the best at playing hard. But I started a couple companies, lawn care, construction. And in 2008, I ended up going pretty close to bankrupt. And I went to Costa Rica for some time, just try to clear my head. And while I was there, I wrote down a word hope on a piece of paper. And when I came back to the States, I decided to marry my construction knowledge and my cancer knowledge together. And that's where Rock Solid Foundation came from. Been doing that for about 12 years now, just chasing relentlessly, not recklessly, after kids fighting cancer.
Wow, that is amazing. And that is a pretty incredible story with your family. I mean, that's really, do you find that in families, like the reoccurring cancer with different family members? Do you see that?
No. So that's the crazy thing. All three were different types of cancer. So it'd be different if they were all leukemia.
Sure.
They were all three different. And that's the thing that the doctors, they ran studies and tests, but there was no linkage to be able to see because they were all different types of cancer. And there is something called survivor guilt, right? So my parents mm-hmm. have me, but my aunts and uncles don't have their kids. So no matter Christmas, Thanksgiving, really the cancer word doesn't really come up. So my family chose to throw away that word for quite some time until I revisited it in 2008 and 9.
Wow. So tell us about the work you're doing now and some of the things that this has done for these kids. It's pretty amazing.
So what we do is the reason play sets is the one thing that you or I never had to be taught to do was play. So unfortunately, when kids are diagnosed with cancer, the first thing taken from them is play. So we make sure if there's a child fighting cancer, we try to bring play back into the equation. And that's why we put the play sets in their backyards. Typically from the ages of 1 to about 8, we build the play sets in their backyard, because it's a germ-free place for kids to be able to play. And then most of the times there are other siblings that are going through, when the child's diagnosed, the whole family goes through cancer. So these play sets are just as much for the siblings as it is for the child fighting cancer. So we started that, started selling them as corporate team building exercises all over the United States. We've done some team building exercises for some pretty large corporations. So that's how it's been able to really gain some momentum and speed. And we've built over 1,000 play sets now to date. So it's been a fun journey, but it's not always easy, but it is always worth it. So just really the ups and downs of just being a social entrepreneur, I guess, if you will, really focusing on the people and believing that the money will come.
Absolutely. So when you say team building exercises, do companies then sponsor sort of a child and then they go in and they're doing more like a team building project, but it's and they're paying for that play set? Is that how's that working?
Yeah, that's a sponsorship opportunity. We come in, we set everything up. The company agrees. It's I call it hyper local. We find a child in their community fighting pediatric cancer, and we partner with the local community, the economic side. We partner with those companies. And for example, Wiener Schnitzel, I've done, it's the world's largest hot dog franchise. We've gone all over the United States doing team builder exercises with their locations. And so the teams come out, they build the play set in about 2.5 hours. And then from there, they can see, touch, feel exactly where their time, talent, and treasures went. So it's a great hands-on experience for anybody looking to really engage their team and to speak for the culture.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's great. And then how do you find out about the kids that are in need?
We find out with the kids. We partner with children's hospitals all throughout the United States. They're experts at our clients, which are kids fighting cancer. And so we call the hospitals, we partner with them, and they end up, we end up telling them, hey, listen, we think we can fulfill 10 kids' play sets in your community this year. Can you help us identify the kids? And so they do. And so cancer doesn't discriminate. So they choose the kids from 1 to 8, and then we partner with the local community to build the play sets with them. But let the hospitals do what the hospitals do. They're experts. They handle all the HIPAA laws. And once we get the kids, then it's just nothing but smiles and play. Try to allow them to escape cancer just for a little bit.
Wow, that's incredible. So let's talk about skill sets. So what do you feel that two of your greatest skill sets have been that have been really helpful for you in this journey?
So I think one of my major skill sets is that, especially in the nonprofit industry, money is extremely important. No money, no mission. But I think one of the skill sets that I learned early on, the best donation that I ever got was 83 cent. It was a little kid that broke open his piggy bank, gave me 73 pennies and a dime. And so I kind of ignored the kid a little bit, and then he gave me that. And what I realized is if you focus on the people, the money will truly come. And so it is. It's a step of faith, if you will. But I think that's one thing is being an expert at loving and serving people is one of the skill sets that's helped me get to this part. Because when we first started, they said only millionaires start nonprofits. But the difference is they never met me. My dad used to always tell me that if you can beat cancer, you can do anything in this world. So I've always had that kind of ace in the hole. So I really believe my focus and my desire just to love and serve people and putting money secondary has truly helped Rock Solid Foundation to stand out. And I think that's a skill set that's not really seen that often in nonprofits. And then the other one, I would say test hard and pivot often. And what I mean by that is you're starting out or if you've been in business for a while, because what entrepreneurs do is they solve problems, right? So that's what mm-hmm. we set out to do. And I think solving problems is something you got to make sure that you try as hard as you can. And then when you do hit the roadblocks, you need to pivot. And I talk about it from like a running back standpoint. If the running back ran the same play every single time, the defense would know how to tackle them. And really our enemy in Rock Solid Foundation is pediatric cancer. So we just try to test hard and pivot often, marrying the mission, not the model. So, I mean, I could go on for all these numinisms for days, but I think skill sets, those are two. And those aren't really like your practical skill sets. But I think those are the two things that have helped me as an entrepreneur just the last 12 years of really focusing on the people and truly believing that the money will come.
Oh, that's great. I think running a nonprofit is not an easy thing to do. Like you said, a lot of people say, only millionaires start real true nonprofits. Right. And we know that that's not entirely true because there's a ton of people that have gone through something or they're very passionate about something. And I've had several on the show. But I do know that there is an art to asking for money.
Yes.
And to be able to raise money. And for all the nonprofits out there, I love that you said you serve the people and the money will follow. But I also think that there is special things that you can do to help that ask. What have you found that has worked better for you guys?
Oh, man. I think the word, so I don't really like the word need, right? People, nobody likes, this is just me, like nobody likes a needy person, right? And nonprofits tend to get a bad rap of being needy. And what I have found something tremendously, two things have really helped me. I never ask for money out to lunch. And I know that sounds funny, but right when you're gearing yourself up to ask, the waitress or the waiter comes in and pours the tea, right? Or they mess up the groove. So I typically usually ask for money over coffee. That way you can kind of control your environment. And then the other thing is instead of saying, would you give me, I tend to ask, would you consider helping us love and serve the kids fighting pediatric cancer? Or would you consider helping the vision become reality? That's been something that has tremendously helped us. And talk about the impact that you're making, not about the dollar signs. And I think that people want to be significant, right, in this world. So I think you just show them what their time, talent, and treasures are going to. And I think the rest is, you got to have a little bit of faith in the nonprofit world. But that word consider has tremendously helped me. Instead of would you consider?
You know, it's funny. In sales, that's a big, huge word that I teach.
Okay.
And that's interesting that you're saying that because I had never put that connection together in nonprofit, but basically that is what you're doing. You're selling your the conception of the idea, you know, right. Like what they're going to be contributing toward. And but yeah, I always say lead with, well, would you consider this? Or, you know, asking them specifically about their need and then would you ever consider this? And
right.
It opens the door for people having a conversation with you instead of making them feel, I don't know, trapped.
Right.
And that's what I see in that. So I love that.
I ask them too. I'm like, what's important to you? Because a lot of the times, and if you're a nonprofit and you're listening, getting that meeting is probably the hardest part, right? That's 80% of the work if you can sit down in front of that person. But where Rock Solid stands out, and I think what's helped us is really identifying the need of that person sitting in front of you. So it's putting their needs before your needs. And if I just shut up and listen a little bit to them, I can typically tell what's important to them if they want to give their time, which time is a valuable resource too. If they want to give their talents, which help me with the website or help me with some accounting, or if they want to give us our treasures or their treasures, which is their money to help push the mission forward. So I believe that people give time, talent, and treasures. We'll take all three or we'll be able to take one of them. Either way, if you're willing to sign up and help love and serve kids fighting cancer, I'm your guy.
Oh, that's that is awesome. It's just such a great, it's such a great story. And I know for families, that is the hardest thing of it does not just affect one person and the family affects everybody. It
right.
affects the siblings. I mean, it affects everyone. So I love it that the play sets are really making an impact, not on just one, but on everybody. That's awesome.
Thank you.
So let's talk about outstanding accomplishments. So one that stands out for you or something that's super meaningful.
I think something that stands out for us is the way that we, or for me, is the way we were able to navigate the pandemic, which yes, the pandemic is still going on. But for us specifically, March 13th, 2020, I think that was the day that the NBA canceled everything. Mm-hmm. And so I remember that I felt like the world stopped. And so I got the whole team. We got a staff of about 13 now. And I got everybody on and I was like, hey, listen, because I'm a motivator, right? I love to motivate people. I love to encourage people to join our mission. But I told the staff, I was like, hey, listen, we're not going to be able to motivate our way through this. We're going to have to lead through this. And so I think there is a difference. I said, one thing you can expect from us or me and the board of directors that we're going to be honest. And so one of our values is marry the mission, not the model. And so we, in 2020, we had a whole bunch of team building exercises planned and all of that came to a screeching halt. So then the thing that kept waking me up at night is that cancer didn't care about the pandemic. Now it's a real thing and I'm not discrediting that COVID is a real thing, but cancer didn't care. I said, so Rock Solid Foundation needs to figure out how we can continue to love and serve. And what we came up with was by a push of a button, how do we deploy hope? And so we call that ROD, Rock Solid On Demand. So instead of being experts at building the play sets, what we decided to do is be experts at building the community around the families and then teaching them how to build the play sets. And that allowed us to go from 100 play sets a year to about 400. This year, we'll do about 500 play sets a year. So I think testing hard and pivoting and marrying the mission and creating ROD during the midst of the pandemic was probably one of the biggest accomplishments that we've been able to do to this date.
That's awesome. And I'm sure it's sort of like with the pandemic, that was your greatest challenge.
Right.
And then it was also your greatest accomplishment at the same time. But if you wouldn't have ever had that, I look at even what we've been able to do. If I had not have had that situation, I would not have been forced to find a new way to do something, right, which turns out to be the better way.
Absolutely. It's not always easy and it's uncomfortable, right? So change is extremely uncomfortable, but it's not always easy, but it is worth it. And that was the thing. My team, we created scenarios, like fake scenarios for them to work through. And we pushed the button. It was actually September 1st last year. We pushed the button. Elon Musk was quoted pushing the button on his third rocket launch. He was out of money and he just pushed the button. It was like, here goes nothing. And so we launched the ROD program last year, September 1st. And we've been able to do over 350 play sets by a push of a button and deploying hope. So there is a difference between like sustainability and scalability, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that allowed us to scale, not for scale's sake, but every single number that I've mentioned has a name. Every number matters to Rock Solid Foundation because it's attached to a family where their child's fighting cancer. So we've been able to really relentlessly love the cancer community by the Rock Solid On Demand program.
Oh, that is fantastic. So what does, so for you, what does working from your happy place mean to you?
I think that working from my happy place is ever since day one, that I was like, Rock Solid Foundation has to be mobile. It has to be on the move. And so I've always said we have to be able to take our corporate headquarters anywhere in a backpack. I love to travel. So I think for me, happy place, A, you got to enjoy what you're doing. It's mm-hmm. And for me, it's a calling, but it's that line of calling and career too, right? So calling is, I think, a word that's used a lot. But I truly believe that I was designed for this moment in time to be loving and serving the pediatric cancer community. So I love to work from coffee shops. I'm at my house right now. We do have offices, but I think my happy place is that I get to wake up every morning and do what I do. So there's a difference between get to and have to, right? So I mm-hmm. get to sit here and talk to you and be able to like stand for kids fighting cancer. I don't have to do that. But I think that's the thing is I get to do this every single day and it's extremely rewarding. I get to introduce people, to make significant impact in their life. But I think for me is I have my backpack, I'm looking right at it and I love to work from coffee shops and the beach, but really my happy place is we build these play sets. And every time that we present a play set, the child comes around the corner, they see the play set for the first time and guess what they're not thinking about? Cancer. So we won, right? So that's the spot. And that's that moment in time to where, it's 2 minutes out of a very, very long day, but that's my happy spot is being on a build site. And it keeps me grounded to the mission as well.
Absolutely. So what I'd like to just delve into a little bit more, because we have a lot of people on here that are either entrepreneurs or they're small business owners or they're very active in their own communities. So I'm intrigued by this sort of leadership or team program that corporate companies can get involved with. And I think to me, that is like, this is a win-win for both people. And right. Oh my gosh, like it makes me excited even sitting here while we're on. We didn't talk about this ahead of time. So it just makes me super excited about it. So I want you to talk it out a little bit about these team building exercises. And what do you think that the companies get out of it? So
sure.
Yeah, talk to me about that.
So when we first started, the only fundraising experience that I had was selling donuts for my Krispy T-ball uniform. So I had zero experience in the fundraising world. So we sold Krispy Kremes for the first playset build. And in 2008 and 2009, as I'm researching, wanting to start the nonprofit, again, only millionaires start nonprofits. But what I found is that there was a bunch of layoffs going on in 2008. I was like, well, listen, layoffs aren't going to continue. So we're going to have to figure out how can we help rebuild the culture? How can we help rebuild these companies that are having to lay people off? And we're sitting around the fire pit one day and we're like, well, what about team building? So what we do is we take something extremely complicated, like building a playset. It's ranked like the fifth worst thing for a dad and grandpa to do in the entire world. The first playset I ever did, I was broke, just came back from Costa Rica, and my buddy conned me into building a playset. Well, he gave me $250, and I'm not kidding. As soon as I put the anchor into the ground, I swore that I would never build another playset. His daughter busts out the door, gives me a hug, and she says, thank you for letting me play, and hands me a check. And I looked at my dad. I was like, I think I'm supposed to build playsets for kids fighting cancer, and I think I have an idea to do it. And these culture team building exercises just came desperately wanting to love and serve the community and help them rebuild their culture. So the way it works is you partner with Rock Solid. You tell us the date that you're looking to do it, and then my team handles everything. We take, we find the kids throughout the United States. You all show up. Let's say that you and your team are doing one, about 15 to 20 people, and then a limo picks the kids up. So you get to see exactly where your time, talent, and treasures are going. They leave in a limo, and it's like the you remember that show Extreme Home Makeover?
Yeah.
I don't have a foghorn or a bus. I've asked for one, but we haven't gotten one yet. But so they leave in the limo, the team comes into the backyard, we break it down into stations, and we designed it to where I've never met anybody named Chuck. So I'm still waiting to meet someone named Chuck, but Chuck can barely read, has a sixth grade education, never touched a drill before, but has the desire to change another human's life. So we designed the playsets in stations so that anybody that's never touched a drill before can become part of the impact. And so we build it in about 2.5 hours, and then the child comes around the corner and they see the playset for the first time. Rock Solid doesn't present the playset. The company that supplied the labor presents the playset to the family. And what we've done is we've connected the community and we've connected the cancer family, and that's what hope looks like. But it takes about 2.5 hours, and what the organizations and companies get from it is that we encourage them to work with people they've never really talked to before, but they get the blood, sweat, and tears in it. And I'm telling you, it creates conversation.
Okay.
Hopefully that makes sense for you.
Well, it does. I just think that there's probably so much more. Me, the seller, is sitting here thinking like marketer girl. It's
right.
Like, can't help myself. You know
no,
what I mean?
That's great.
I think that there's probably, we could identify more. My first advice to you would be to sit down and really interview a team after. What did that do? Did that create better working engagement later in the office space? I would encourage you to do that.
All right.
And it made us closer. It made communication better. I'll bet you it does all those things.
All right.
When you come together for a greater good and you got, like you said, you're out there just sweating. I'll give it just a, this is a, such a minuscule example. But when we do our big launch for our planner, I need to get ahead of it. You know, I can't have it on day one. Like I can't just have my one person shipper and then take them weeks to get them out the door. I need a team. So we have I have a big party here, invite some people over. It's usually some random people that are all kind of, I've used the theater group here that we kind of support and that we're part of. And just actors come over and we feed them, and I gave them some gift certificates. But what happens in those conversations is how many of those people, they get to know each other. And even a year later, they're like, that was so much fun, but they're working hard.
Right.
I mean, and everybody suddenly who hasn't before figures out, you know what I think would make this faster? You know what I think we could do? I mean, like they suddenly they're using skill sets that right. maybe they didn't really know that they had, or and helps them to do something. And it isn't even for a mission as something is important, obviously, or that is rewarding on your heartstrings, as that would also play a part. I bet you it does a lot for those corporate groups. And if I were you, I would be interviewing them after the fact, like three Absolutely. Months after the fact. What did you discover about your working? Like, what was that exercise like? Are you more communicative between those people? I bet you they are.
Right. No, I'm writing it all. I love it. I'm writing it all down.
Because then you would be able to sell that as, hey, here's what you can do. Because people have leadership conferences and team building conferences, and they're always looking for different things.
Right.
And this would be like a way for them to pay for the swing set. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
And then you're facilitating it. But they're not having to pay for a facilitator, really, because they're paying for the child
right.
that's got cancer to get a playset. Like, oh my gosh, this could just be framed in such a way that we listen at me. We can start building 1,000.
Hey, I'm game. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Oh no, goodness. I appreciate that.
Because one of the things that I'm just going to throw this out there too, but for anybody listening, and this is hopefully I will be helpful for you, but it's like, you already know, by the response of the child, the response of the family, you know what that means to that child. You right. have that figured out, just like completely, like rock solid, like you're yep. calling your company, right? But for these other companies to get more people to sponsor a child and to do these sort of team building exercises. But like, even when I first did my podcast, I did it for 6 months and then I took a pause. I said, we're going to take a little hiatus for Christmas, for December. But I spent December interviewing people that listened to the podcast and said, what do you like about it? What don't you like about it? What would you rather see with it? And it was such valuable feedback.
Yep.
And most people do not take the time to get feedback from their customers or from collaborators. And it's like, if you did, you would find out how to make it better.
Yep.
You would find out how to sell it better. And if the end result of that would be these companies looking for a team building exercise anyway, are actually being able to do something that's meaningful instead of just spend a Friday afternoon away from the office, which is extremely valuable for teams to get out of the office, to kind of get hands-on on something. But my gosh, it's got a reward that is better than just a Friday afternoon.
Well, it gets the instant gratification too, though, yeah. right? So it's, Holy you come cow. Out, you can see it, touch it, feel it. And no, and did you find success being like picking up the phone and calling? I mean, we send out surveys, but have you had much luck with surveys, or what do you think on that? I'm not trying to interview you, but like, you made the phone calls or did you send out the surveys?
We send out some surveys and we get some feedback. If I find interesting things on the survey, I pick up the phone. Thank you so much. Can I just have a 5-minute conversation with you, a 10-minute conversation? I have also found that getting people on the phone, I have found if I say, hey, can I schedule 5 minutes of your time or 10 minutes of your time? I have found that if you preface that, then people awesome. Will be, okay, sure, I can do that. Versus, hey, can we schedule a time where I can talk with you about this? Then people just like, oh no, I don't know what it is about people, but I'm like, hey, you know what? I would love 3 minutes of your time.
Yeah.
I love this answer. I had a lady complain to me about one of the things to do with my planner last year. She complained. And so I sent her a message. I said, I really value our customers and I appreciate this, but I'd like to know more about exactly what you mean. Like, how could we make that better? Like, that's what I want to know. She ignored it, sent another message, ignored it. So I sent her a third message and I said, you're super valuable to me. You are a big leader who promotes this to literally hundreds, if not thousands of people on their team. And your opinion matters to me. You took the time to send me this message. I would love you to give me the time to correct it.
That's good.
And then she got right on the phone. This is a little different, but I'm just giving you some advice. And so sometimes we have to say, hey, you guys took the time to do this. it was so rewarding. But I would like to know, like, what did you find after the fact? Yep. And I guess I would start with the don't just do the leader of the organization, because oftentimes they have no clue the impact that it really had. Do you know what I mean?
Yep. Yep. No, that's yeah. good.
So that's just
Thank
some
you.
Thought.
Thank you. Thank you. I love it. Learn something new every single day. Just like there's a lot of bees in Michigan right now. So I love it. I journal every single day. So I write it all down.
There are a lot of bees in Michigan right now. Goodness. So for anybody that doesn't know, what that have to do with anything? I got stung in the face about 10 minutes before we jumped on here.
Oh,
and the
man.
Whole time I'm freaking out. Like, do I feel like my throat's getting tight? Do I feel like I can't breathe? No, I can breathe.
Yep, we're breathing. So far, so good.
I know, right? Okay, so what advice do you have for, we'll say entrepreneurs, but I specifically, anybody out there that has a heartstring mission, I guess I would say, that really wants to be in the nonprofit space, and you did it without having this big, huge funding. We've got another really close friend of ours who started one out of a need. He works with suicide prevention and for teens mostly.
Oh, okay.
And it has been amazing to watch that journey, because he just started it all by himself, but it has grown. And then there were certain pivots for him along the way that's helped that to grow. But what advice would you give to people out there wanting to do that?
The advice that I would give is give yourself some room to fail. I think that especially when you're dealing in heartstrings and kind of the pediatric cancer world, it's a heavy load. And you tend to put a lot of pressure on yourself. And I think that one thing is giving yourself a little bit of room to fail and just not quitting. And I know that sounds pretty cliche, but quitting, the way that I look at it is there's someone walking in to something to where you've just walked out of. And I think that for me, that's been the biggest burden, because the burden is real, but the burden is okay. But I think just giving yourself room to fail and understanding that being any type of entrepreneur, and especially in the nonprofit world, there's peaks and there's valleys. And I mean, the people that die most often on Mount Everest, they stay on the mountain too long. It's not on the climb up, it's on the climb down, because they run out of oxygen. And I would say that learn to appreciate the valleys that you go through, because the water is in the valleys. And I think that that's one thing for me. And I know that's mountaintops are, I love, love, love to be on the mountaintop of life. But really for me, what I've found is giving myself room to fail, recouping, testing hard and pivot often, but then just learning to embrace the valleys, because it is, it's hard. It's hard what we do. But I know that it's not always easy, but it is worth it.
Awesome. And so what are some new and exciting things that you guys are working on right now that our listeners might benefit from knowing?
Well, Rock Solid Foundation, we have what we're calling the Play Defeats Cancer Tour next year. It's probably going to be about in April or May. We're going to do 30 builds in 30 days throughout the United States. And we're going to be partnering with children's hospitals all over the United States. So that's exciting. More to come for that. And then I actually have a book that I wrote, and it comes out September 21st. It's titled What Hope Looks Like, How to Use Your Pain to Fuel Your Purpose. And so it's really a step-by-step manual, if you will, to teach people if you've gone through some sort of pain in your life and you want to turn it into a purpose, it's a step-by-step on how to start a nonprofit, because Google is kind of like a co-founder of Rock Solid. Not really. So I never got money from it, but I Googled everything, how to start a board of directors, how to file a 501c3. Someone called me a philanthropist one time and I was like, what? Anything with an ist on the end couldn't have been a good thing. So, but I did. I wrote a step-by-step book on how to use it to fuel your purpose, because I do believe, I sit with a lot of people in life that have been very successful, very, very successful, and they have all the money in the world. And they sit across the table from me and they want to give money, but they want to have some sort of significance at the end of their life. So I believe that what if there was a world where you could live for significance and success at the same time? And I believe that that's what this book can help people do, is I think that nonprofits need to be ran like a business. And I love, 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 love that entrepreneurs, especially the younger generation, they're getting into it and they're looking to make an impact, but they also want to make a living doing the same thing. And so that's exciting for me. But the book launches September 21st. I have the author's copy. I just got that in my hand a couple weeks ago, and it's extremely exciting.
Oh, that is wonderful. Woo-hoo-hoo.
Thank you.
So writing a book is a lot of work.
Oh, it's
a lot of time. Oh, my goodness. So this has been absolutely delightful. So, Eric, tell our folks where they can find you and how they might contribute to Rock Solid.
Yep. You can go to our website at rocksolidfoundation.org, and rock is spelled R-O-C. You can also go to my website, thenewmanexperience.com, and you can support Rock Solid Foundation by going to our website and help us continue to build hope for every single child fighting cancer.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for sharing your insights, your heart, and wisdom today, Eric. I appreciate it so much, and I totally appreciate what you guys are doing. So thank you
for having me.
Absolutely. To all of our listeners out there, thanks so much. What a great show today. And it's always good to engage and talk and listen to people who are out there impacting others who are struggling, especially children. It's just really gratifying. So thank you for listening today. I'd love it if you follow us, subscribe, that way you don't miss a single great episode. And the best form of compliment that you can give us, though, is to share this with a friend. So once again, we shall see you next time on Work From Your Happy Place.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends. And be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.